This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, it's a 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Wednesday, May 22nd. So I know one early in the morning, perhaps you weren't up. I get it. Good for you. But here's the show in case you missed it. We found out that faster walkers are likely to live longer in life than slower ones.
And it doesn't matter how much you weigh.
No.
That's what the fascinating part of this study is. National Institute of Health Research.
Yeah, they say
it doesn't really matter how much you weigh.
They said people who were underweight and had a slow walking pace had the lowest life expectancy. But even if you were walking faster or it didn't really matter what your weight was, you seemed to live longer. And it kind of gives evidence to talking about that it's not so much your body mass, even right. If you're a big person, as long as you're active, you should extend your chances of living longer.
So if I'm behind some skinny guy that's walking slow and I start pushing him and he goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm trying to make you live longer."
Yeah, yeah. Say that.
We'll see how that holds up in court,
okay.
Storm.
All right.
I'll be out with bail money, okay? Let's see. We also, speaking of money, figuring out how much we as Americans view wealth in this country. If I were to say to you, what is considered you are a wealthy person, according to Charles Schwab, who asked about 1,000 Americans, we need about $2.27 million.
Oh, man, that's just, I mean, if you were to ask me, I'd say $1 million. Doesn't that sound wealthy?
I mean, that's my whole logic with the lottery, where people were like, I'm only going to play it when it's like $500 million. So I'm like, I would be happy with $500,000.
Yeah, $500,000.
Yeah, like that kid in Ocala that won $700,000. Like, All right, sure, sign me up.
I would be absolutely okay with that. Yeah, this is what they found here, and they found it was generational, too. They said baby boomers said that you need about $2.6 million to fit the definition of wealth. Gen Zers, 1.49%. Right. Millennials at 1.94%. But this is probably the most interesting statistic at all.
Not percent, 1.94 million.
Yeah.
You were saying percent.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, I was getting into the next point here, but this is kind of interesting. When you add in everybody, including the most wealthiest Americans and the poorest Americans.
The 1%ers, too.
They said the average U.S. household has a net worth of $692,100.
See, that seems like a lot of money. That's when you say net worth, that's minus out the mortgage, mm-hmm. minus out all your deficits. I mean, this is what you actually have.
Yeah. Now, we take out ultra wealthy percenter.
Your
the 1%ers.
There, yeah.
That drops to $97,300.
That sounds a lot more realistic, doesn't it?
That sounds very obtainable.
These are the people I know.
Exactly. These are the people I bump elbows with here.
Every now and then.
The best chores for kids based on age. This is good. Some child experts talked about really taking advantage of when kids want to be helpful and use this to your advantage. A lot of times you decide, like a toddler, or you don't want them to help or whatever, but this is actually some good advice. They say start young. They say toddlers are very eager children. They want to help, so let them help by taking dishes to the sink or wiping up a spill or perhaps throwing a piece of trash in the garbage can. Little things like that. Even getting a little toy vacuum and vacuuming along with you.
You're molding them to realize that life has chores.
Yeah,
I saw a child's broom the other day, which I should have known. I mean, I know they have like the kids like little tyke stuff, but I mean, I actually was shopping for a broom in a store the other day and saw a section where they had children's brooms. Yeah. And they weren't just the short brooms for adults, but they were literally like colorful and everything for kids.
Where in Walgreens are the brooms?
There is a section,
but that's
actually not where I was.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's go to preschoolers. They say that's when you should let them, they want to do things that big people do.
Yeah, I'm a big boy now.
So let them do that. So let them feed the dog. Let them put dirty clothes into the washer or take the wet clothes from the washer, put it into the dryer.
Let them pay the rent. You want to be a big boy? Fine.
Yeah. They say, things like that where you can, what they perceive as something that is very much a big person, what they would do. Now, as kids enter elementary school, give them chores that are challenging but still are within their abilities to accomplish. Psychiatrists call this the zone of proximal development. And they describe it as tasks that a learner can perform with the guidance and encouragement of someone who is more knowledgeable, like you. So in essence, you're teaching them as you go. So these would be things like folding laundry, loading the dishwasher, mopping the floor, maybe some light yard work, maybe raking up the leaves or something like that. And then they say, finally, as your kids move into being young adults, this is where you kind of are rounding out the perfection. This is really where you want to critique them. and this is the life lessons where adult supervision means that the chores may be vital, such as cooking dinner.
Wow.
Heavier yard work, maybe deep cleaning kitchens and bathrooms. This is where you really put life skills to work. Kind of a cool chart. We kind of breezed through it, but the whole thing is up at our website. I think you'd like that.
Yeah. Jenny, what was your job when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah, I was dishes all the time. Yeah. I was dishes and, like, deep cleaning the kitchen. But Mom would get frustrated sometimes if I wouldn't deep clean, too. Well,
What did you learn about doing laundry? Why did you want to do laundry?
Yeah, well, laundry for me, because Mom would always love to work outside, and I'm just not into that. Right. Like, in the heat, sweating, and all that. It's not my thing.
Can't imagine why, but go ahead.
I know. She'd always be like, let's, you know, come help me pull weeds, or you can do laundry. I'm like, okay, sure, I will do all the laundry, everyone's. And then I would just turn on the kitchen TV, because, you know, we didn't have cell phones we could put up at the time. So I would just turn on the kitchen TV really loudly so that I could, like, hear. Or just take the laundry basket into the kitchen and watch TV. But, you know how that is when you're young.
Yeah. Or you put the
washer.
Like,
she'd come around in the back and start to come in the door, and I'd have the remote in my pocket, and, like, boom, off. She'd never know.
And you put the washer on, like, heavy duty, where it takes an hour and a half to
get it. Oh, yeah. The laundry took all day. But everything did get folded. I've become a master folder.
There you go.
My gosh. And the whites, I've never seen whiter whites in my life.
Seriously.
I remember this one. It just reminded me of this here. My mother would iron, like, my Sunday clothes.
Right.
And she would give them to me to put away. Well, I think it was one time I just kind of threw them into my closet.
Oh, freshly ironed clothes?
So she found that, and she was going to teach me a lesson. So the lesson was, is you're going to re-iron these clothes. So I picked up the iron, and I start going. I had no idea how satisfying taking the wrinkly parts of a clothes and just, like, magically going over them. And
you still do it to this day, don't you?
That's so funny.
It backfired on Mom. It was a happy thing. We ended up laughing because that was one less thing she had to do. But I absolutely love ironing.
But there's something about you get to see a completed job.
Yes.
You know?
And when you're in the working world, sometimes you can't see projects completed.
You don't see the end game.
So I really love that part of laundry.
Cool.
Let's see. We talked about shipping container pools, and this is kind of an interesting way.
It's a new company, right, called Mod Pools that's doing this.
Yeah, they're out of Canada, and what they have found is they're trying to find a solution to a problem. There's a lot of shipping containers, you know, World Trade and everything.
Billions,
and everything is in these shipping containers, which are kind of the length of an 18-wheeler trailer.
Yeah.
And the width and everything. And after a while, they come out of service, and people don't know what to do with them. People have made homes out of them. You try and scrap them up, but a lot of times, because of the rust and stuff, it's not really a viable way of recycling. So this company has figured out a way to make a pool out of it.
A swimming pool.
An eco-friendly and very affordable pool. They just kind of cut one of the bottoms out of it, turn it upside down, and, you know, they line it with stuff so it's not like hard steel.
These are beautiful.
But, you know, when you're talking about the traditional in-ground pools and what a headache it is, we talked about, a couple weeks ago, about people building custom homes, what a headache that is, because you've always got to, there's weather, there's finances, there's everything that you really can't control. And that's kind of like with building a pool. You can't control if it rains. You can't control if you run into a problem when you dig a hole.
It takes months, by the way.
Yeah,
it really does.
Built. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this actually, they say it takes about 10 weeks. You can actually swim the day that it's installed. And here's the best part about that is that pools normally cost anywhere from $35,000 to $62,000.
Sure.
Their most expensive one is $40,000.
That's a big pool. LED lights, and they're all lined with fiberglass and heated, and everything. They're beautiful, actually.
They're really modern looking, too, which I really like. I'm really into the sort of mid-century vibe, and so for me, the style is really awesome.
And here's the best part I love, is that if you decide you want to move and you really love the pool, you can just kind of pull it up and take it with you.
Taking my pool with me.
It's a trailer, after all, right?
That's right.
This was kind of cool because I know Janie and I were big fans of Stranger Things. Because
me too, I love Stranger Things.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Good. I'm glad to know you watched too.
Oh heck yeah!
Yeah,
I love
that's one of our. We found out last year it was my favorite house. Anyways,
I've spent a lot
Universal's
of time
Halloween
in the
Horror Nights.
I've spent a lot of time on the upside.
Yeah, so you know, Stranger Things 3 is coming out, and this year it's set in the summer of 1985. If you remember, in the summer of 1985. Coca-Cola probably made one of the biggest blunders you could ever make in a company. They decided to change their tried-and-true formula and to kind of sweeten up the formula and make new Coke.
Right.
We all know how well that did, because 79 days later, they reintroduced original Coke as a Coca-Cola Classic.
They teach it in marketing classes nowadays as the biggest business blunder.
Yeah. So this is actually what Coca-Cola has agreed to make a limited run of new Coke. They are not doing this as a publicity stunt for Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. The Duffer brothers, who wrote Stranger Things, actually went to Coca-Cola and said, look, this was a pretty big, iconic pop culture thing in the mid-80s and that summer. We have to have cans of new Coke. Coke was like, sure, we'll take free publicity,
no
problem.
They probably have a warehouse somewhere in Indonesia.
Yeah, because normally they pay for that kind of product placement. Yes. But if this was them being asked to do it, it's a nice compromise.
Yeah, they say that they're not getting any money of it. But Coke is going to make some money starting on May 23rd at 5 p.m. That's tomorrow when we're recording the podcast. They're making a limited run at 500,000 cans of new Coke. You can actually buy a package that includes a couple cans of new Coke and some Stranger Things items that I'm sure you would absolutely love to have, with the old original logo and everything. So that's coming out, so that's going to kind of give you a little window as to what's coming up with Stranger Things 3. Plus, a whole bunch of new merchandising's coming out. H&M announced that there's a clothing line that's coming out. Other retailers are putting some clothes out. Baskin and Robbins taking aim as to the fictional store Scoops Ahoy in the series.
That's
and they're
so great.
They're actually going to make like Scoops Ahoy looked ice cream cups and uniforms and such. So
I wonder who else is going to drop on board. I don't recommend any sort of like the fast food place like Stranger Taco. See, that's not good. It just sounds bad.
Well, and you know, I was thinking as we were talking about this, I think it was like 1988 or 1989. That's when Crystal Pepsi came out.
I remember that.
If you hang out long enough, we might have some of that come into the play.
Yeah.
And then finally, we talked about a pretty – I never thought about it until I read this story, but it's absolutely true.
This is neat, too, because I feel so guilty every time I do this. I have my reusable grocery bags.
You've made the switch to the reusables.
I made a switch, but I go to the produce aisle, and I put apples in a plastic bag.
I do that, too. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you do that. You don't even think about it.
Which kind of cancels out the use of the recycle bag.
And so why not have a reusable produce bag?
I got to get on this.
Which is kind of looks – it looks like one of those laundry bags.
Like
that
a mesh bag.
Yeah, that you put delicates in the washing machine. But they're actually designed for food and products. Here's the thing. I didn't know this either. A lot of the retailers have switched to what's called a biodegradable bag. It's usually a green one.
Right.
It kind of feels a little funny. And you were saying it actually kind of breathes.
Yeah,
so the...
I've gotten these. I kind of take a couple extras, and I've been putting my produce in those bags because it lasts longer in my refrigerator.
Well, and here's the thing. They are biodegradable, but it is a little misleading on how this, because in order for them to be biodegradable, they need air, they need water, and they need sunlight and time.
To break down.
Right.
So, but the EPA says... A landfill has to have what?
The landfill has to block all air, all moisture, and all sunlight.
So catch 22, the landfill, if you put it in the landfill, it's not going to go away advertised.
So, they come in all sorts of sizes, anything from stuff to put small items in like dill weed, rosemary, stuff like that, all the way up to 10, 15-pound bags of carrots and apples. The best part about that is you can completely reuse them. And an extra added is that instead of taking it out of a bag, putting it in a colander, rinsing it off and drying
it. You can rinse it right through the bag.
Just leave in the bag and rinse it and then hang it up and let it dry.
Imagine you can put the bags in the laundry too.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm gonna get all over this because we Googled it and we have links up on our website. Man, there's a million different varieties that Amazon will bring it to your door tomorrow.
Yeah. In fact, I did order them.
Oh, did you?
And I finally ordered the wool balls for the laundry.
For the laundry. That's so cool.
I just like wool balls. I just like saying wool balls.
Yeah.
I'm a toddler.
I am too. I'm a very adolescent boy.
We think everything's funny, okay?
So there's our show for Wednesday, May 22nd. Of course, we're on the air live Monday through Friday on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
ABC, yeah.
Bye. Have a great one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.